Hey everybody, I'm C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tom Tit and Baobab.
Welcome back to Tom Tit and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee-inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
Jen, how many people do you think tuned in this week hoping to hear Jared instead of us?
Listeners, were y'all hoping we got stuck in the UK after you heard Jared?
Jen and I ditched the podcast last week because we were on a girls' trip with our friends Leslie and Aaron to Ireland and Wales. It was a very fun, high-energy sprint across two islands in very little time.
It was a tough call for us to podcast or to gallivant. That's not really a tough call, is it?
No.
Luckily, we didn't have to worry about the choice too much because our friend Jared was willing to step in and host in our place.
And he did an amazing job. Woo! We listened while driving out of Dublin towards Galway, and I was laughing so hard I forgot to be scared about driving on the wrong side of the road.
Which she did a couple of times.
Jared, I wish I was as punny as you.
Well, see, guess what? You can tell Jared how you feel in person because we have a special guest appearance. From Jared.
What? No way.
We do. Jared.
Hey. I am here. And so is my three-year-old who is evading my wife.
That's awesome. Jared's life.
This is not scripted, folks. This is real life.
So,
and it gets a little messy.
I just want to say, Jared has... obviously young children in the house and a job and a wife and a life. And he still took time out of his busy schedule to record this podcast while we were gone.
Thank you, Jared. Yeah.
Obviously the least amount of time. I was like, oh yeah, this episode is going to go 30, 40 minutes. Next thing I know, it's like sub 20.
No, it was good.
It was perfect.
It was a quick hit. It was focused.
Tell us about what was it like hosting Tom Tit and Baobab?
It was super fun. Yeah. I mean, I want to say it was a pretty chill week in the bees. Like this week, which I'm sure you'll be talking about pretty shortly. This week's been like, I don't know. For me, I don't like this week. But maybe because my focus, I wasn't able to focus as much as I was when I'm like, I knew I'm hosting. I knew I had to bring my A game.
Oh.
And I felt like I was rocking bees. This week, I was like, this week, the bees are not being kind to yours truly.
Yeah, do you think you did better, though, because you knew you had to get ready?
I think so. I think it was just like something biochemical. There was a reaction that happened, but
Jared, you bring up a really good point. If hosting this show makes you better at the bee, if anyone out there would ever like to come host the show so that we can go away on vacation again in order to get better at the bee.
You're acting like Jared isn't special. Like it wasn't like he could get
Jared is special. They will take anyone for sure. Our go-to. However, what I'm offering is a chance for people to get like a bee boost.
Have you gotten some feedback from your stint?
Have you guys got a feedback? That's what I want to know. I haven't gone back through like I still have all your passwords. I haven't looked at the analytics. I haven't looked at the poll. You know, I kind of wanted to come. I wanted to find out. You tell me. How was it?
I tell you from friends and family, you did amazingly. We've got really good feedback from people saying like, that was great. My mom like didn't know that it was happening and wrote to me and was like, whoa.
Well, I will say that, Jared, we haven't actually looked at any official response.
Like, is it going to be unbelievable words? Like, what's happening?
This is a
debate, Jared.
This is going to be a big week, but I did laugh. And
this is the hornet's nest.
My mom also thinks it should be called unbelievable.
Oh,
words.
She agreed.
Well, she agreed before Jared even did the show.
Really? I thought Jared made it up.
Well, Jared did make it up, but she was telling me that she didn't like the name Strange Words and was suggesting other things that, like Jared's, were punny.
Did she come up with the same one?
No, well, because I said to her, it was after you and I had already talked.
I did give you a sneak peek.
Jared's going to offer up some other ones this week, like unbelievable words, and she was like, oh, that's good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the record, I've never met your mom.
That's true, actually.
Right? I don't think I have.
But I think my mom would like
this.
This is fair.
There was no payoff.
Yeah, no, we would get along. Yeah, we would get along. Can I just ask, I want to know, how was the trip?
Oh, the trip was really good. The trip was great.
So I have another question.
Yeah.
I'm coming with questions today.
Yeah.
Is this like the first time y'all have gone on a trip since you've been hosting the show?
No. We were in Greece when we hosted
the show. Actually, I did know that.
Yeah, and probably...
That's going to ruin the jokes I have coming, but I'm still going to do them.
All right, let's go.
Because I think people are, you know, I think they thought, you know, maybe you two really aren't close friends. You know? I think people have been, at least what I've been hearing, is they think
a lot of
good people on both sides, and they're saying that this is a bit of like a Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing going on, where it's like, you guys are just doing this for the ratings.
Yeah, we're pretending to be friends.
You're co-hosting.
There's something to that, Jared.
And yeah, maybe I saw a hashtag fake friends online. I saw it. It was about y'all. But now I think people know they went on a trip together. This is a true friendship. Yeah. This is a true friend podcast.
That's right.
So I'm glad we could squash that, even though, yes, you have traveled to Greece together.
And we posted many pictures of ourselves because we were still on Twitter X back then. And so we posted many pictures of ourselves together on that trip. But we could have Photoshopped them.
Ah, right. AI. There's always AI. Yeah. We could be saying anything.
We could be like, picture of Jen and C on a beach in Greece pretending to be friends.
While playing the spelling bee. Yeah.
Jared, unfortunately, we can never go on vacation with you because we need you to stay behind and, you know, do the podcast.
But since we're fake friends and Jared and I are real friends, Jared and I can go on vacation and you can stay behind.
Just watch out. If I was solo, it'd be so exciting. Did you think about having a co-host, Jared?
No. I knew that I wouldn't be able to recreate what you guys do because hashtag real friends.
I thought that you wanted to show that you could do both of our jobs equally as well.
I just knew with my hectic lifestyle, Jen, you just ran through all the things I do and am. And I just know it would be really hard to find that time. I don't know how y'all do it. It's hard to find that time to grab someone else.
Yes.
You know, to like play the bee, rock out like I did, you know, get all those pangrams and then come and be able to talk about
it. Jared,
you know,
that's why Cecilia is friends with me. That's the real truth.
It's all for the foo-for-all.
It's all for the bee work.
Pretty much.
We're going to go see if we can do a show that was even half as good as the one that you did.
Or a third.
Please.
Maybe.
You're too kind. You're too kind.
Thank you again. And, you know, come back.
Yeah. I will always be. I'm standing at attention.
Thanks
I'm ready.
So much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, y'all. Have fun.
Take care. Bye. Jared really was great. We enjoyed listening to him. And one of my favorite parts, see, of having Jared do the show was when he tried to channel his inner C and do the transitions to the next part of the show.
So I gotcha.
I don't know if maybe he was better than you.
He might have been. I'm not worried to be fighting with it.
I don't know.
Ready? All right. Let's see. Am I ready? Okay. Ready? It's the Week in Bees.
This is the part of the show where we talk about bees from the previous week. Today, we're starting with Saturday, September 30th, and ending with Friday, October 6th. Because we were together, we did the puzzle together a number of times this week, so we've already discussed a lot of these words.
You know, it might be interesting to talk a bit about what other puzzle doers apparently thought about the words this week.
How are we going to do that?
Well, last night I saw an article from the New York Times about Bee Buddy and how they track what readers think are the hardest and easiest words each week. Do they do this all the time?
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yes, they do. I think it's somewhat new because Bee Buddy is new and they base it on responses to Bee Buddy.
When I saw the top 10 hardest words, I was like, that seems pretty right. I mean,
yeah, for sure. Because this week, the top 10 hardest words, the one that they say was hardest is foo-for-all.
Foo-for-all, which I was with Jennifer when she saw it very quickly and went, oh, foo-for-all. And I was like,
because I will never, ever forget the word foo-for-all after the last time it was in there and caused a foo-for-all.
Yes. Well, no. So foo-for-all, they actually have it listed as something very specific and small or something, like paying a lot of attention to small things, which I was like, that's what a foo-for-all is? I don't understand.
So first of all, let's spell the word foofaraw.
Yes, let's
do
that.
It's F-O-O-F-A-R-A-W. Foofaraw.
And they say it's excessive attention to a small matter, similar to a hullabaloo or brouhaha. And I say that's not what brouhaha means, which is a word I use all the time. Brouhaha is like a brouhaha. It's a craziness.
Yeah, like chaos. Like right. Something chaotic.
So foofaraw or foofaraw, yes.
Or like a kerfuffle, like right. A hubbub about
But excessive
something.
Attention to a small matter, that definition says something else to me. And that's weird that they list that as their definition, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe because it's not a real word. That's what I think.
I think also that they give... Okay, let's explain what we're talking about a little bit. So there is... In the article that C's looking at.
And this is an article from October 7th, Saturday, by Eve Washington, Josh Katz, and Tom Gier, three people in the New York Times. Anyway.
And it gives the hardest and easiest. And then for the hardest words, it gives definitions. And I want to say that the definitions that it gives are not necessarily the definitions that are in the mainstream dictionaries, because, for instance, one of the words is geoid, G-E-O-I-D.
Another weird word this week that we got, I think because you guessed it.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I guessed it. I definitely didn't know it,
Jen
and I know we got it.
Very good at the weird crap I've learned this week.
I think thank you. Geoid, when we looked it up in Merriam-Webster, said something about the shape of the earth.
Geoid, which kind of made some sense.
But
it's geo.
In the New York Times, it says,
a model of average sea level throughout the world, an imaginary line used to measure elevation.
Yeah, which is not exactly the same thing.
Or at all the same thing. Like, so, the shape of the earth has something to do with the sea level, but... It's very, very confusing.
It's very
isn't it?
Confusing. And yeah. I think that if we look at Merriam-Webster, that what we're going to see is that foofaraw, and I'm typing it
switching right out of geoid, huh?
Switching right out. Yeah, because I wanted to, my point in bringing up geoid was that the New York Times definition that they give is different than what Merriam-Webster is.
Right.
So foofaraw in Merriam-Webster is frills and flashy finery. Oh my gosh, that's hard to say.
Frills and flashy finery.
Or a disturbance or a to-do over a trifle, a fuss. So I guess that is the same thing that New York Times is saying. And
Wait. The second one is, what's weird is that first definition is not something they have here at all.
Right.
That's
it's
bizarre.
It's the second definition. And the second definition, I guess... What I was going to say is that those other words, because if you look at the synonyms are things like hubbub and pandemonium and ruckus.
I see no brouhaha.
There is no, but there's helter skelter and kerfuffle, which I love, and ballyhoo. Why is brouhaha not on this
can
list?
Can we stop
actually?
Talking about foofaraw? Because let's just agree, it's not a real word. I don't know why he puts it on here. Most of you didn't know it. Next words.
Okay.
Word number two was, how do you say cichlid?
It's cichlid. I looked
cichlid.
It up.
Cichlid. Cichlid, a tropical freshwater fish often found in aquariums, which I know because I do the bee. It's a booze bee.
Same. And it's spelled C-I-C-H-L-I-D, I believe.
Yeah,
correct,
I thought
Cecilia?
I think I just
cichlid.
Said
you
that.
Didn't spell it.
Lychee was number three, a small juicy fruit, also called lychee. Now, lychee, the way they spelled it, is L-I-T-C-H-I. And lychee, the way I've ever seen it, is L-Y-C-H-E-E. Again, I don't go with this L-I-T-C-H-I.
Well,
stupid.
Merriam-Webster says it's the very less common spelling.
Yeah, so why are we counting it? Sorry.
The one word it. I missed this week that I always miss.
And I got... Yes.
And yeah, after you like...
How did I get this word? So wait.
Took a walk on the beach.
I took a walk on the beach. I was in Wales walking on the beach. How awesome is that? And all of a sudden I went, the word we're missing is cetacean.
Which is really ironic because a cetacean is an aquatic mammal, like a whale, and we were in Wales.
It's not ironic. That's why I thought of it. I was looking
at
the water.
Well, I thought you thought of it not because of whales, but because you were on the beach.
Right. I'm saying that I was very excited that this word is in my head. It is like been pounded into my head, and that I actually got it based on the definition, I think.
Yes. So but a word that you did not get was pharaoh.
So let's talk about why I didn't get the word pharaoh, F-A-R-R-O-W. One, because Jen got it before I had to. Thank you. Two, Jen did not know that word.
But I did think it had something to do with a farm, which it does. It just is not what I thought it had to do with a farm.
And it has to do with?
It has to do with pigs. Yes. It is a group of piglets, a pharaoh.
Yes. But three, I didn't get it because I got the real word pharaoh, F-A-R-R-O, which is a grain that I eat all
the
time.
You know what? Piglets would disagree and say that they are a real word.
Which would you rather eat, piglets or pharaoh?
Oh, pharaoh. Without the W. Because, you know, I don't eat piglets. That's terrible. Speaking of eating meat, pancetta was on the list of hard words this week.
Wait, no, it was. It wasn't on the list of their hard
words. Oh, no, it wasn't.
It was on the list of
your hard
words.
It was on the
list
of our hard words.
We like pancetta because we were all doing the bee together, all four of the ladies on the trip. And my cousin Erin, who does not tend to do the bee, looked at it for 2 seconds and it went, pancetta. And we were all like, huh?
That's great. Not that we don't know pancetta, but it was good. It was a good one.
I wasn't getting pancetta anytime soon.
You did get another really good food word.
Paratha.
Paratha, which I don't think I would have gotten if I had been on my own.
Yeah, paratha was on their list of hardest words. And I got paratha because I eat it all the time. Indian food, so yummy. Speaking of which, guys, I got no Indian food in London. I'm very sad. Indian food's so good in London, but
Time was short.
Yeah. What else? On their list, kawadi? No. We all should know about
that's kawadis. Not a hard word. You know what I wonder about their list? Because they say it's hardest and easiest. And this is another reason for us to get a brain specialist on the show. Again, I'm going to put out this plug. If any of you are specialists in how the brain works, please come and talk to us. My question is it really that they're the hardest and easiest words? Or is it that they are words that are hard to see for some reason?
Well, I guess it depends.
Or a combination of both.
I mean, foo for all because it's not a real word was hard. Another word that I am kind of like, ugh, you liked, but I was like, ugh, ductility.
I like the word ductility. I think it's a great fake word. It's not a fake word. It's like malleability.
Malleability, real word.
Ductility, real word. But then with the easiest words, quote unquote, easiest words.
Like mace,
Mace, they said, was the number one. And mind you, all of the easiest words were like 98, 99%. The difference between them was much smaller than the difference between the so-called hard words. So with the easiest words, that is like, well, maybe people just see certain letters first.
You know what's interesting? The percentage of people who got foo for all, so this is based, hardest they count as the share of people using BeeBuddy who found the word. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I don't understand is, does not finding the word mean you asked BeeBuddy for a hint? Does not finding the word mean you never got it even when you were playing BeeBuddy? Like, do they keep checking you?
That's a good question.
I'm really curious because only 15% of people in this thing got foo for all, which is like way less. Everything else of these hard words is in the, is 30 to 40. Okay. So only 15%, is that only 15% ever found foo for all, which I'd believe because it's not a word that you would ever like guess if you didn't really
know.
Well,
it's interesting. Yeah, that's all true. But you raise a really good point. Is this people that looked only at the letter clues? Is it people that took the reader clues?
Right. I don't know. And I'm very curious.
That sounds like something we need to look up.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
About
words
anything?
Of this week?
Yeah. Let's talk about paratroop.
Paratroop? What are we talking about paratroop?
I mean, most of us know paratrooper, but we don't usually say paratroop.
Actually, that's a really good point. Like, what does it mean to paratroop?
Right. So Simon, who was on the show last season.
Simon Sinek
texted me and said, I know a bunch of paratroopers, but they never say paratroop. And I was kind of like, yeah, I guess that's true. But he was thinking of it as like a collective noun. Paratroopers form a paratroop. I was thinking of it as a verb. Paratroopers, paratroop. Then I looked it up and it actually is an adjective. It's not a noun or a verb.
Because I can't even find it. I'm looking it up and I can't find anything.
Paratroop platoon. That's how you would use it. You would use it only as an adjective. So I thought that was really interesting.
I have it as a modifier noun.
I think that's the same as an adjective, basically, in practice.
Troops equipped to be dropped by parachute from aircraft.
No, but you're looking at paratroops.
Well, right. But then the modifier noun is paratroop. Right. A paratroop regiment.
Platoon. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because when it came up, it was like, sure, that makes sense. But then you think of it and you go, well, that doesn't make any sense.
You know what the other weird thing about that word is when I was looking it up is that parachute, which is where paratroop comes from.
Right.
Parachute comes from par or par and shoot. And par is like four, right? It's the protection against something. And shoot is to fall. That's like the etymology of it.
I thought para is four, like it's in...
It is.
Oh, okay.
Four. But it's to defend against something. So it's defend against falling is what a parachute is, okay. Right? But paratroop, the four means for a troop. Like it's lost the meaning, right? Like they've taken the part of parachute that doesn't mean anything about falling. Like it really should be a shoot troop.
Jen, I think you're trying to get your word of the week in early.
I'm not. I just thought that was really interesting. That is not my word of the week, and I don't want to cause a brouhaha.
All right. So let's move on then. I can hear it. I hear it. You're so excited to do your favorite segment.
I am.
All right. Ready, guys?
Let's do it. Yeah.
The word of the week. This is the part of the show where we take a deep dive into one word from the previous week's puzzles. Jen, I don't know where you found the time to do word of the week. We just got back. So I can't wait to hear what's coming.
Not only did I have time to do word of the week, I also had time to look up paratroop.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Probably because I have bad sleep hygiene. So something that Cecilia liked to say to me a lot this week was that I have poor sleep hygiene.
She does.
And I do not. I have a lot of bad habits, but the inability to sleep or sleeping enough is not one of them. So I think that this qualifies as Cecilia heckling me.
Was heckle a word this week?
Heckle was a word this week. And heckle is also our deep dive word.
Yay, I won't heckle you about it.
Because I think Cecilia is my own personal heckler.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about whether heckling is good or bad.
Wait, isn't heckle bad by definition?
Well, that's why we're going to talk about it. So the reason I picked heckle is because I felt like after I started looking into it that it combined several things that were common threads on our trip this week that we were talking about. Me being heckled, the UK, comedy, because we went to see a show.
Oh, we did see a show.
A stand-up comedy show with a heckler, exactly, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Oh, good.
And it also involves politics and unions,
which
were both part of conversations that we were having while we were away.
Part of what we're going to keep talking about.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. So it all seemed to come together with the heckle.
Okay.
All right. So the word is heckle, and the noun heckle, and you probably don't know that heckle is a noun.
The heckle.
So the noun heckle appears in English around 1300, early 14th century, and it means a flax comb.
A flax comb.
Yes, a comb for flax. So it was a tool that was used to take out any of the extra stuff from the flax.
She's making lots of hand gestures.
Yes, I'm combing and I'm spinning. So when you took out all of the stuff that you didn't want, the fiber would go through the spinning more smoothly.
I'm just wondering if they're always more interesting if one can see your hand gestures. Anyway,
I'm sure that it would be much more interesting always if you could see me and my hand gestures and Cecilia and her shade that she is throwing at me.
No, I'm heckling.
Heckling.
But I'm not a heckle. I'm not a comb for flax. Go ahead.
Maybe you are. So that word comes from... It's unclear. Some people say Middle English. Some people say Middle Dutch. Heckelen, which is to dress flax.
Okay.
And that ultimately goes back to Proto-Germanic roots of the word hook. So that's where heckle, the comb, comes from.
Yes.
Then you get the verb heckle, which obviously means to comb flax or hemp.
Obviously.
Obviously. Yes. With a heckle.
Right.
Is to heckle.
Right. We do this all the time.
Of course, today... We have this metaphorical sense of heckle. So this
idea... metaphorically combing the flax.
Well, no, because you're like giving something a hard time. Right?
So like this really only works with the hand gestures. Because as one hand went up, the other one was pushing it away and getting it and pushing it,
I'm heckling with my hands. So today, the word heckle, according to Merriam-Webster, is to harass and try to disconcert with questions, challenges, or jibes, to badger.
Jibe.
And that use dates to circa 1825, according to Merriam-Webster. Other sources put it at 1885.
Okay.
And then I wanted to make sure that the British dictionary had the same meaning. So Collins says it is to interrupt a public speaker, performer, etc. by comments, questions, or taunts. So basically the same.
But very specifically a public speaker as opposed to just like, so correct. I can't heckle you when we're not on the show.
Oh, that's theory. True.
Hmm.
I think it's private heckling.
You're private heckling. Heckle for money.
Because I don't pay you anything to heckle me. It's all
heckle
free
me all that you do. All right. Yes.
The idea of heckling goes back to like ancient times. So you've probably heard stories about like at the gladiatorial matches in ancient Rome that people would make noises or clap or
only
do
men talk about the Roman Empire. Yes.
Only men talk about the Roman Empire. That's a complete side note that is not going to mean anything to people.
That's
listening
not true.
To
it's
this.
A very popular meme right now.
But. Okay. So maybe it will. Theater goers in the age of Shakespeare sure. were known for heckling, but it yes. wasn't really like a word that was used. And today we mostly know it in terms of comedy, right? Like we went to this show, which was very funny, by the way, Mike Birbiglia.
Oh my God.
The
so
old man and the
funny.
Pool. So yes. plug for Mike. Yes. Awesome show.
Oh, let's tag him. Maybe he'll like this show.
Oh,
you never know.
Yes. Let's do
Mike,
it.
Mike, we like you.
We
we'll
like
say
you.
That.
It was all about getting old and falling apart. So we yeah. related to it very much. We did not heckle. We were just like, yeah.
And
yeah,
if you don't
Mike,
know him, all of his stuff is really funny.
Yes. So. He was hilarious. And I appreciated how he handled the heckler. Because
right.
the heckler
wasn't mean.
No, it wasn't mean.
A mean heckle. Just somebody was like kind of talking in the middle.
Yeah. Like added to one of his jokes. And he was like, you know what?
I
think
I got
this. And so there are all these things online that you can find about like how to stop hecklers. So we mainly think about stand-up comedy and heckling. But this metaphorical use of heckle really has its origins in politics. And there's a 2005 article in The Guardian by David McKee called Unplotted Reposts. And he talks about how heckling arose in Scotland, probably in this town called Dundee, which was, quote, a famously radical town where the hecklers who combed the flax had established a reputation as the most radical and stroppy element in the workforce.
So, like, the hecklers were actually, like, that's why they're named after
yes.
these people? That's
so
weird.
So the hecklers were actually, like, a group that were basically a trade union.
That's
okay?
pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. So there comes the union part, right? So the hecklers were these guys who actually were hecklers.
That's crazy.
By 1800, they were really powerful. And there were apparently the heckling shop where these people worked, and I'm going to give you a quote from an observer, quote, was frequently the arena of violent harangue and ferocious debate. One heckler would be given the task of reading out the day's news while the others worked. I'm going to stop the quote there. So one heckler would be given the task of reading out the day's news while the others worked. And then the other ones, while they were working, would shout stuff out about the news. So they
right,
would
right,
read
right,
like
right.
parts of speeches I and stuff you. Like that. People are like, ah, he's a liar.
So wait, what years are these?
This is around 1800. So this is the very beginning of the 1800s.
So, okay, I'm a little lost on your yeah. timing here because this to me would be the origin of the heckling comics too. But you said that did they call Shakespeare people
no,
hecklers?
No. So this
is
the word
origin.
That's happening. Yeah, this is the origin of the word. Ah. Yeah, but like the act of heckling goes back further than that, right?
Okay.
And it really is, this is where the word really picked up. And it, well, picked up in, again, a metaphorical sense. And then the rest of that quote that I stopped reading is that it says what they did when they moved from factory floor to public meeting had a second relevance. So heckling became this way of, quote, teasing or combing out truths that politicians might wish to conceal or avoid. Mm. So you would heckle a politician
right.
at an event or at a meeting or something like that. And that is true to this day, right? We still have political hecklers.
Right.
And in fact, there has been a lot of writing on hecklers since the early 2000s. This article was 2005, and then there's like around 2007 a bunch, because people were observing that heckling is becoming more and more pronounced in our society. Mm. And a lot of people attribute that to the rise of the internet. And like also people.
So is heckling and trolls like the same thing?
No, but they're related to each other.
Because
right?
heckling seems like heckling in this. I'm having a problem with this because Heckling in the political sense seems useful.
Yes.
And a form of protest. Mm-hmm. Heckling in the comic sense seems like kind of mean. Mm-hmm. And heckling as in trolls is like seems totally unuseful. So it's interesting to think of them like they're similar, but it seems like they're very different in use and usefulness for society.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the big things that has come up more recently, because since people say, like, since Trump, that heckling has become meaner and meaner.
Right.
And so because there's this like uninhibited thing that people are doing now where you say whatever, but it raises
not just heckling, everything.
Right. Exactly. Right? But it raises all these questions about heckling. Like, so there are all of these recent articles about like the ethics of heckling and if heckling is important for a democratic society and if heckling can be good or if it's only bad and it, is it free speech? And if heckling is free speech, like, are you taking away the right of free speech to the person who's talking? But it's totally raises all of these questions that you're now talking about in terms of like what it means to heckle, what the difference is between heckling and other kinds of responses.
Right.
Right.
Interesting. So very interesting.
I thought it was super interesting. And I also thought that it's a good thing that we do a podcast so we don't have to worry about people heckling us.
Ah! Just online. Right?
Yeah. We just can't hear them. I think our moms heckle us all the time while they're listening.
And then text us the heckles.
Yes. But. Exactly. But anyway, that's the deep dive. And if people out there want to heckle us, go for it. We can't hear you.
Nice. That was good, Jen. I appreciate it. No heckling here. I do have a question though.
Yeah.
All right. So what are we calling our next segment?
Well, I don't know. Are we calling it unbelievable words?
A la Jared. I don't think we have a choice, right? So.
Do you remember how he did it?
Not exactly. So I'm going to do it my way. You ready?
Yeah.
Unbelievable word of the week. So Jen, I'm actually really glad we settled on this name, Unbelievable, because it actually seems fitting for the turn we're taking with this part this week. Usually this is crazy English words, but today let's talk about Welsh.
Because all of Welsh is crazy.
Welsh is crazy.
It's now, really interesting though. I mean crazy in the best possible sense.
Yeah, yeah. So do you remember how you say Welsh in Welsh?
I believe you say it, it's spelled C-Y-M. R-A-E-G. And the C is always a hard C.
We're going to get to that later.
Cymraeg.
Yeah. Cymraeg. Yes.
Cymraeg.
And Welsh people say Wales, Cymru.
Cymru.
Though Cymru is spelled C-Y-M-R-U. And if by now you're like, okay, impossible. Yes, that's how it seems. We were driving around Wales or sitting in a place in Wales and trying to figure out if we could understand how to read Welsh.
And we couldn't.
No, but we did look up some of the rules, like all the letters are pronounced. Mm-hmm. There's no silent letters.
And that it's more or less phonetic. So if you know how the letters are supposed to sound, you just like say them that way. However, that means that you actually have to know how they sound. And we were trying to figure that out reading them, but it's so confusing. We kept forgetting.
Yes.
Like if you are interested in learning Welsh, take some time to really get to know the alphabet sounds before you even try, which we didn't do.
Well, we tried. I mean, so there's 28 letters. And W is always a vowel in Welsh.
And sometimes in English. We had a big debate over that.
C is, as Jen said, is pronounced as a K as in cat.
Mm-hmm.
CH is pronounced like loch.
Like,
and it's soft.
Loch Ness.
Or bach.
And the DD is pronounced as a th, as in bath.
G's are always hard G's.
Mm-hmm. And double L's are like nothing else that we have to ever say. So this is a situation where, and C and I, well, I still live near it, live in an area that has a lot of Welsh names.
Right.
And one of them is
Kenwood.
Bryn Mawr. And we live near the Lanark Diner. Now, Lanark is L-L-A-N-A-R-C-H.
And you would not say Lanark.
You would say
They say
Lanark.
Oh my gosh, she just spit all over me and I'm not even joking. Oh no. And that was the computer. So they say you put your tongue on the roof of your mouth just behind your teeth and blow.
Lanark.
Yes. Let's see.
F is a V.
Yep. Double F is like an F.
Mm-hmm. W is an O.
Yeah, so like W is like baboon. W. It's right. Kind of interesting. There's an RH where, and this is, we're reading something called like How to Say Welsh, and it sounds like the H comes out before the R and you blow out air as you speak.
I'm not even going to try because I don't want to like, spit everywhere again.
You get the point. So you see these words and you're like, all right, I'm going to try to say it. And it's a disaster.
Yeah. Like we were talking about going to a place that to us looks like it says Penny Fan, which is P-E-N space Y space F-A-N. But you really pronounce it Penavon.
Penavon. Penavon. Yes.
Penavon.
That's one of the easier ones.
That's one of the easier ones.
The craziest one, Jen. What?
Oh my gosh. The craziest one
was when we went to the longest town in the world.
The longest town in the world, which it's the town isn't the longest, the name. It's the longest town name in the world. Yes. And they gave themselves that name to be, I think, like a tourist attraction.
Oh, for sure.
And it's like Len for.
How many letters is it?
It is, I don't know, like 60 or something. But I can't even begin to pronounce it. So
we have a picture.
I'm gonna play it. Yeah, we'll post a picture.
Oh, good, good.
And then
good.
I'm gonna insert right here here, listen. Take a listen.
With cloudy skies, but in the sunshine in northwest Wales at RAF Mona, just up the road from Llanfair Pwll Gwyngyll Gogerach Wyndrobwll, Llan Tysilio Gogogoch, the temperature got to 21 Celsius, that's 70 in Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know how he did that.
I really don't either. I can't do it.
I got to tell one story. So lots of times we had no idea what we were looking at. We took this picture. Actually, I think it might have been in that town, but it was in front of a mural.
It was absolutely in that town.
And the mural had bees and flowers. So actually, Leslie was like, take a picture, you know, bees. And when I was just looking at the picture, I see these words there. And I assume these words meant like bee and flower. But they didn't. The words were Y-M-A and then O and then H-Y-D. The way you say it is Yama Ohid. Yama Ohid, which means still here.
And Yama Ohid, still here, is a Welsh language folk song by a guy named, and I'm probably going to mispronounce his name, I apologize, Dafydd Iwan. Is it Iwan? Oh, yeah, because it's I-W-A-N. Iwan.
Dafydd
Iwan.
Yeah.
Right, we think. And the song actually is all about Welsh nationalism.
Right,
and
about the
keeping
language.
The language. When he was explaining why he wrote the song, he said he hoped it would, quote, remind people we still speak Welsh against all odds.
And people were really excited about the song so much so that it became an anthem at football,
right?
What we call soccer games. So at Welsh games, a lot of times they sing Yama Ohid before their games. Still here.
So we think that's really cool. They're still here.
Can you
drop
that in here too?
Yeah, the Welsh are still here. And actually, it's really cool because in Wales, people really speak Welsh. And all of the signs are in Welsh.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. Here you go. Yama Ohid.
That was great. So if you're wondering why we aren't talking about the Irish language, given that we went to Ireland, it's because we were exhausted after Wales.
Also, because I actually had a brief conversation with the bellhop at the last hotel we were in Ireland, and we told him we'd just gone to Wales, and the first thing he said was, isn't Welsh crazy? He was like, Irish is pretty bad, but Welsh, yes. I don't understand it at all.
But we loved Ireland as well, so we don't want to leave Ireland out. And when we went to the town of Limerick,
what did we do in the town of Limerick? What is there to do in the town of Limerick?
Yeah, we had to do a Limerick. So let's do it in our wild card.
The wild card is the part of the show, as anyone who's been listening knows, where we pretty much do whatever we want. And this week we're doing limericks in Limerick.
Yeah. So this is actually tape from the car in Limerick. And it was inspired by what was happening in the news that week. We could not get rid of the U.S. in Ireland. So enjoy our limericks from Limerick.
Four friends went a-driving through Erie, and one of them offered a theory. If Gats had a brain, it would be less insane, and our country would be much more cheery.
Woo! Nice one! All right, I'm going to try one. Four friends went a-driving to Limerick when one of them suddenly fell sick. She was reading the news and was hit by the blues. McCarthy is such a big dick.
That was good, see?
Heck yeah. Jen, what's yours?
All right. Four friends kept a-driving the aisle, and each of them wore a big smile. Despite the house mess, Trump pouts in distress because he has lost this fraud trial.
Woo! Good job.
All right, those are our limericks and limericks.
And that's it, laddies and lassies, for Tomtit and Baobab, Season 4, Episode 5.
Thanks so much for being with us. We hope that you'll come back next week. Yama Ohid will still be here.
Yama Ohid, I love it. Until then, be in touch. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. We also love email, tomtittenbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, and words you'd like to know about. And what's the longest word you can say?
Ooh, I like that. You can also tell us how much you love Jared and when you'd like him to come back. We're thinking, I don't know, at least sometime this season.
Oh,
right?
Like, you know, in 2 weeks, we'll want to go on vacation again.
Excellent. And if you like TNB and never want to miss an episode, subscribe or follow us. You could also leave a rating or a review. Helps other word nerds and puzzle lovers find us.
Until next week, be well.
Be excellent. Be.
We're trying to be like Jared now. Be like Jared. Let's end like on that note. Be like Jared. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.